Hey, it's me, and I just want to thank you for being here for this season. Who are you, you might ask? Who am I? Why, I never. See, it's me, Zach, your host on this journey, and I'm here with Howard the Corgi, who is currently stretching himself on my chair, staring at the mic, but he can't talk because he's a corgi. And we're here today to take you on a journey, and that journey is this podcast. So welcome to season two. See, we may have taken a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back and we're ready for more stories. And we are excited for you to be here. And while I'm talking into your ears today, I hope that you can enjoy what we've got ready for you. See, today's journey, we're going to go visit Alexis Cunningham. You may have remembered from last season, or maybe you're new here, Alex Cunningham, upcoming famous comedian and actor, making his way out in the big city of LA. Today we're going to talk to his absolutely incredible wife, Alexis Cunningham, and see, she's going to talk about her experiences since moving out to LA, as well as her upcoming book, and that book is something you should be looking forward to. So without further ado, we're going to get this party started. So hop in the car, and I'll hop in shotgun, and Howard will hop in the back. See, he's a good boy. He likes to just look out the window. And let's get started. Thanks for being here. Starring your beautiful overlord in the flesh, the ominous voice in your ears right now, it is I, Zach. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. I have with us today Alexis Cunningham. You may know her as the all-star wife of the wonderfully talented Alex Cunningham, famous actor out in LA, whom we interviewed last season. And she is here today to join us and talk about everything to do with her life and her upcoming book that she's writing. How are you doing today, Alexis?
I'm doing pretty good. Living the Cali life and just hanging in there. How about you?
I'm good. Long day at work. But here I am, excited for this, excited to be back into it. So we briefly talked shortly before we started this, and you are actually from Indiana. You're actually from there, correct?
Yes, yeah, born and raised.
Cool. And so just to get into it, how actually did you and Alex meet?
We actually went to the elementary school, and we lived in kind of in the same neighborhood, so we would walk home together a lot of times. But so pretty much like I had a giant crush on him then at that point, and then he moved away, so Facebook became popular, and I just typed in his name in the Facebook search bar and found him like 10 years later on Facebook, and then we just kind of reconnected from that point on.
That's hilarious. So technically you're like elementary school sweethearts.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know if he ever liked me, but I liked him.
And somehow you tricked him into marrying you, though.
Exactly. I'm sure that wasn't, that's what he tells everyone.
I'm sure that wasn't too hard. So since getting married, you guys have, like we discussed, you have moved out to the wonderful West Coast in pursuit of various projects, and one of them is his acting / comedy career, and another one is you are writing a book as well, and we'll discuss that in a moment. But I think really what is interesting, and it's so cool to me, because I have lived in Florida since I was 3 years old, and I've only visited a handful of states. Believe it or not, I've actually been to more countries than I have states. But oh, wow. Yeah, mostly because we go on a lot of cruises, but that's a different story. And so I've never been to the West Coast. The farthest west I've been is Texas, and that is a giant oven in the summer of June. Don't ever go to Texas in June. So just kind of like, what's your experience been like since you've been out there? Why don't you kind of give us some insight and kind of talk about it, and like pros, cons, things you miss about Indiana, things you don't miss about Indiana versus being out in California.
Sure. Actually, you said that the furthest west you've ever been is Texas. Before we moved out here, I think the furthest west I had ever been was Missouri, which is only two states further west than Indiana. So coming out here was like a huge just difference in scenery, difference in people, difference in surroundings. Like everything was so different. And like you said, like it's super hot out here too. And that not just in June, it seems like all the time. We actually have a little bit of cooler weather right now, but it probably won't last very long. But yeah, it's just been a huge, just there's just the difference in everything kind of has been crazy because I like I said, I grew up in Indiana. So everything out there is nice and green and roomy and all the people, they have that Southern hospitality, but you come out here and like, it's just crazy because we went from living in a one bedroom house back in Indiana with all of these, with multiple cars, ATVs, with all kinds of different things. And then we come out here and we've been living in a studio apartment for 2 years. And like, so it's kind of crazy because to us, we feel like we've really downgraded, but it's neat being able to say, oh, hey, I live in LA, and just everyone else thinks that it's just so cool. And like, so it's really neat to see people's perspectives on like what they think that it is that like out here and compared to experiencing it. So it's definitely been an interesting experience to say the least.
Right. And I looked it up because I also would like to go out there, hopefully one day, because I'm, you know, interested in, I personally would like to make movies, and Alex wants to star in them. I want to make them. So
there you go. You're a good team.
Yeah. I told, we'll be like, oh God, who is it? Michael Bay and Nicolas Cage or something like that.
Oh, there you go.
But I looked it up, and I think it was something like I would need to have, and I make good money now. I would need to take like a 25% cost of living increase to be able to afford to live out there at my current level that I'm currently at. So it's definitely more expensive, and that's true for every major city. I mean, our apartment that we have in Tampa right now, where my other half is going to school, it's almost $1,500 a month, and rent just keeps going up. So it's crazy.
Yeah, it is outrageous.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, like, So walk me through it. So you get out to LA, and like, what's your first thoughts? What's it like for you?
I think originally moving out here, I really didn't mind it too much, but I think just because it was a huge adjustment, like I think by about like month three, I was like, okay, like I can kind of start to see this as being home. But then it seemed like I got to that point where I was like, okay, this is cool. And then I got out of the touristy time, like whereas like that first 3 months, like I didn't actually have like a full-time real job. Like I was working part-time at a restaurant and just trying to get ourselves on our feet. But we were always like, we were going out, we went to the Hollywood Boulevard, we went to the beach all the time, we went on new hikes, we went and did all these different things, like just constantly like living a very interesting life. But then like after I'd say about 6 months, that was after I got my full-time job and things really kind of slowed down. And I got used to driving everywhere. I got used to having to sit at a desk working a 9-hour day. Like, so it kind of really hit me that like, oh, this is life. And like, I think, just actually learning the environment, learning the fast pace, learning the just how many people you have to deal with, just dealing with all these different things. It's really kind of flopped now that I'm in the real life. Like I would so much rather go back to Indiana than not necessarily my hometown, but definitely go back to the Midwest, just because like it's outrageous out here. It really is. Like, I hate to burst everybody's bubble who's like, oh, LA, like living in LA is one thing, but I'm sure vacationing is another. And that's what I think that first 3 months was kind of like a vacation feel. So it was a lot different than what it feels now.
Right. And, you know, eventually that honeymoon phase, quote unquote, wears
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
You're left with the hour in traffic every day, both
yes.
ways. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
And that's no joke.
Yeah, no, I understand that. When I worked for the Hertz rental cars, we lived in North Tampa, and I had to work in South Tampa, and it literally took me almost an hour every day to get there and back. So
yeah,
much
and that,
fun.
It's such a waste of time. Like, okay, you can pay me for my drive time if you want. Like, give me an extra couple hours.
Right. So, and how long does it actually take for you to get to work? Like, how far away is your job, and how long does it actually take you to get there?
I'm really one of the lucky ones because so LA is made up of a bunch of different little towns. So like there's Los Angeles, there's actually the city of Los Angeles, and then there's the Los Angeles County. So like I live in Burbank, which is Los Angeles County, and then I live just or I work just in the town over, which is Glendale. So like my drive to work is only about 6 miles, and I think 4 of that is on the interstate. And when you think put it into perspective, I only drive about 30 minutes there. But when 4 miles is on the interstate, you would think it would take me 5 minutes to get there when I'm only driving 6 miles total.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm lucky because I don't have to go all the way across LA or anything like that. So I'm not I work with people who have every morning and every night they spend an hour and a half coming into work and then an hour and a half leaving work. And I just cannot fathom.
Yeah, that's definitely insane. I also can't imagine that. I think my job right now is about 12 miles from where I'm living right now, and it takes me about a half hour to get there.
Yeah,
So,
see, you're going double the distance.
in half the time, yeah,
Yeah,
a third of the
exactly.
time almost.
Yeah, but it's because the interstates are like this morning, for instance, I got on the interstate and right on the on ramp there was a car that was fully engulfed in flames. Like and
Oh,
it had traffic
nice.
backed up. Luckily, I was right at the on ramp, so I was right past all of the backed up traffic, so I didn't have to really run into all of that. But that's it's just it's so dangerous because there's just so many people, and when you have so many people, when you have usually typically have X amount of bad drivers, multiply that by 100,000 or more.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So I guess now that you've been there for a while, so you said you work in an office, correct?
Yeah.
What if it were up to you, kind of what would you be doing out there?
I would love to be because for me being out here is definitely beneficial as well. I mean, you're in the heart of entertainment. So like I would really prefer to be doing something more actually based in media. Right now I'm working I manage social media accounts and content creator essentially. But I'd rather be more in like television would be cool, being a reporter for television or just being a writer for newspaper or any of these like I was writing for Narcity. Narcity.com, which is just like you, it's where just locals go and write articles. But just doing something like that, if I could get paid to do that, that would be really cool. Just being out here. Obviously, the long-term goal is to be a well-paid author, hopefully New York bestseller author. But that's definitely long-term. But yeah, right now, I think that being out in LA definitely that would be something that I think would really benefit me.
Right. And it's, I mean, it's those, I just saw, College Humor actually just laid off over 100 people because their parent company, let their website go, and they're like, we don't want you anymore. So it's, as far as like websites and stuff go, it's, they've a lot of those comedy style websites. And I know this is kind of off track for a second, but you just reminded me when you were talking about social media and stuff like that. It's kind of like a the And the reason I bring this up is because I actually read an article about it, and this is where my train of thought is going. I know, I'm sorry, it's all over the place. But it's places like Facebook and Twitter and the big social media sites, they actually, from what I understand, want majority of their like news and videos and content to go through them. And they're trying not to reroute it to other places. So it's definitely been a struggle for those smaller
For
and even a
outside
bigger.
sources.
Yeah. And see, that's where my train of thought was going. But
No,
so.
it's definitely true. Like, and but it's just the same as like how newspapers are pretty much irrelevant anymore. Like
Right.
Facebook has just become this huge entity where like it just controls everything. So if you don't work for those big companies, it just you do
Right.
become irrelevant.
It's really turning down to you either have to be like, social media really is kind of the driving factor in this new world, new generation style of thing. So, and that's So being in your industry where you're doing social media stuff and getting your name out there, even if it's just kind of like in the background, but it, you know, that experience though is very valuable in terms of like managing social media accounts and stuff like that. As well as in the future, if you're actually getting your name out there on like TV and stuff like that, because, and I really do think, and this is kind of where I was leading with that, that, once you, you know, get your book published and stuff like that, those, that type of stuff is really going to be what generates mass audiences and will lead to larger successes and like, a big cult following on like social media. There's like almost a guarantee now that you're going to be successful in what you do. So yeah. I think you're in a great industry for kind of getting to where you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely hope so.
I know that was like a really long roundabout way to get there, but that's what I was trying to say.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, for sure. And definitely, like, I'm trying to take the right steps for sure, but it has been difficult, especially with just relocating to a place that is just so complex as LA is.
Right. And in terms of like New York wise, like, how would you think, like, and have you ever actually been to New York?
I haven't. That is a goal of mine, is to get out to the that hemisphere up there.
Okay.
I haven't even visited or anything.
Right. Yeah, I've never been either. But yeah, you know how New York gets like this reputation as like this very cutthroat, like you either make it or you don't type of place. How do you feel like in that kind of train of thought or ideology, how do you feel that that applies to Los Angeles? Like, is that the type of place? Like, do you think people can just go out there and be fine? Or is it kind of like if you like aren't big, then you're in actively doing stuff, you're going to fail?
I'm really not sure, because it's really funny being out here. Because I was actually just talking to a girl a couple weeks ago. She had gone and spent some time in New York, I think just a few weeks or something. And she said, like, the way that New Yorkers talk about LA, they call them pampered and they call them spoiled, because they claim that there's so much more space. The rent is so much less than what you spend in New York. And like, that to me is just so mind blowing, because I'm sitting out here and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I sit and stare at the same four walls every day. And like, I can't move because there's so many people and all this stuff. So to me, I would imagine that they're very similar, but I really, never having been there, I don't know. We would definitely, like if that was where our careers took us, I would for sure like to go and experience it. Even if we had to go out there to live for a while, like that would be something that I would definitely do. But I don't know. Like they say, like right, California and LA is a different breed. I'm sure it's the same for New York.
Right. Yeah, I could see Alex doing Broadway. That'd be hilarious. I could see him in Cats.
There we go.
So you've been out there it's been like a couple of years now, right?
It'll be 2 years in March.
Wow. It just seems like the other day you guys were packing it up and moving out there, and you guys drove all the way out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a 2,000-mile drive.
Wow. That's something that I would personally like to do one day, just drive across the U.S. I feel like everyone should try and do that at least once in their life. How was your experience doing that, though? Was that fun?
It was actually really difficult, because we had our dog and then we had all of our things, obviously. So we weren't really taking much time. Definitely not as much time as what I would like to have taken. If we could have started in Indiana and then taken at least a week to come out and actually get to see all these landmarks and all the things that people say that you need to see going across out west, that would have been really cool. But we drove it in 3 days. So we literally were in the car the entire day, and then we would stop at a hotel and then we'd go. And like, even when we would stop at the hotel, we didn't go anywhere because we had all of our stuff sitting out in a truck bed, and you don't really want to venture too far when you've got when you have your whole life sitting outside for people to look at and possibly get into.
Right. So that's insane though. 3 days, like,
yeah, it was a haul for sure. I think we did, 10 hours a day, I think is what it was. 10 hours of driving a day.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even imagine that. I mean, I used to drive for like a dealership and I'd be on the road all day and stuff, but that's crazy to me. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
So in terms of Burbank, how do you like it out in Burbank? Is it like, is Burbank, okay, so I guess kind of what I'm trying to lead up to is you can think like your stereotypical kind of like beachy scenes out in Los Angeles on the beaches and stuff like that and the Hollywood signs, like, but like how is Burbank, like what does Burbank have that, let's say, like Los Angeles might not, or like what's kind of like the charm of that area that you guys are in?
Well, Burbank is really cool because like it actually has it's home of like all the studios. So we have Warner Brothers Studios right down the road. And then we have Disney Studios like down the road from that. So it's a very you see a lot. Well, you don't I can't say you really see a lot of famous people around here because I can't tell you. I've maybe seen one or two. But they do say like with all the restaurants down there that the oh we did see like Clint Eastwood was driving into the Warner Brothers studios. We did see him. So it's a very popular area and because of the studios they keep it really nice. So it's very clean. Like LA, I'm sure that most people have heard has a huge homeless problem. And
Right.
LA's got I can tell you that LA has got or Burbank has gotten worse since we've moved out here, but it's still not nearly as bad as what it is when you venture out into other places, like downtown LA or even out like a Santa Monica. In Burbank, it's more inland also. So you mentioned like the beach, so you don't have all the tourists really because it's not that close to the coast really.
So would you'd recommend Burbank then over like,
Yeah, I do really like if I didn't have to leave Burbank, like it's small, but you have
right.
everything here in Burbank really and it's pretty nice. But yeah, I would totally recommend coming to Burbank and like if someone were to come out here to visit, like staying here is really nice. It's a very safe place.
That's awesome. I know I
Yeah.
definitely maybe this summer is I'd mentioned it to Alex, maybe coming out this summer. And if I do get out there, I'm definitely going to come see you guys and I'm definitely going to pet your dog. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about
Oh yeah, he would love that. He's
that.
noisy, but he likes visitors. Not the dog, not Alex.
Oh, well, they're both dogs.
True.
So I'm sure that it's been interesting, and maybe you can touch on this and kind of crack fun at him or not. But what's it been like? Kind of, I mean, you know, like he wants to act and get into comedy and stuff like that. So I imagine that it's been kind of an interesting thing to observe from the sidelines, watching him go down this path, and kind of like, what's that been like for you, like seeing him do this, like. In your opinion, is it kind of like, is it, I don't know. I guess just kind of what are your thoughts on it?
It's definitely been a journey, that's for sure. Like even from back when we were in Indiana, he was always putting out videos and stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with any of those,
Yeah.
which they he we did get a little bit of circulation on some of them. He's got one that has almost 2 million views on it, which is really good. But we expected more to come from that. But I think it's just a part of the journey. Just continuing to push through. And but so like even from that time back in Indiana, like it's really kind of difficult sitting back and just kind of watching it happen because with what it is that he's chasing, I can't do anything. And
Right.
it's kind of just up to it's really up to everybody else. And I think that's what's so hard is like I can do everything I can to push him and to try to get his stuff out to other people and be there to support him at his shows and stuff like that, but I'm only one person. Like I can't
Right,
make up
right.
for the majority of the people and it's up to everybody else to get those views, to get those shares, to buy tickets, to get him booked again. Like so it's definitely been hard, but it's good to see he's doing so much more now. It's really good to see that coming out here has been a benefit, and that's been a big thing because the first year and a half that we were out here, it just didn't really feel worth it because we just faced so many struggles and everything. But now I feel like it's actually starting to pay off a little bit because he's getting booked and stuff. So it's a good feeling for sure.
Oh, so he's actually like the places are reaching out and booking him and stuff, or how's that
Yeah,
work?
He's not doing as like the goal of originally coming out here was to get into movies and stuff like that. But that's something that he has to rely on other people to do, really, because he has to audition and they have to say, okay, you're good for this role. So
right.
In the past year, he's kind of refocused into trying to do more stand up. And I think because of that, it's really helped. But yeah, so pretty much he's frequents this place here in Burbank. It's called Flappers, but it's a pretty big comedy venue. A lot of big people have been there. I think Rob Schneider is going to be there next week or something. I think it's next week.
That's awesome.
But so there's a lot of people who have come out, who have been there. So they reach out to him and book him, and he's actually had three shows, I think, he has one coming up, but he's had three shows in the last 3 months. So that is a huge step in the right direction.
Awesome. So you're at all of his shows, and is it interesting to kind of like, would you ever have the courage to get up there on stage?
No way, not at all. And like, that's what, like, he's always trying to write these jokes, and I'm just like, I don't have any idea, because like, I'm just a very awkward person. like that's what they say about like creative people. Like, I'm a writer, like I'm weird. Like, so he's trying to tell me these jokes, and I'm just like, I don't have any idea. Like, I don't know how to help you. Like, I don't know how people are going to react to all these things. And it's funny because we're just so different. Like, if it wasn't for him, I would definitely not be going to stand-up shows, because that's just not really, that's not You're really, seeing... like, I'm not really into that. Yeah. So right. Like, it's definitely been, it's different for sure.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I know you guys do, you run a lot and do a lot of exercise. What other type of hobbies have you guys kind of either added or continued to do since you've gotten out there?
Hiking. And that's something like I never did back in Indiana, really. Like, there's a little park that I would go to like maybe once a year, if that, once every couple of years. But since we moved out here, we've done so much hiking. It's really cool because like California, there's a lot of, because of the sun, because it's so hot, there's a lot of things that it's dead a lot. So
right.
Like it, even though it is dead, like it's still just so pretty. Like, and it's definitely a different type of beauty than the Midwest, because like the Midwest is just so green and vibrant and there's so much land, but you come out here and like seeing the mountains and stuff and being able to go hiking and getting up to the top of all those, like the peaks and stuff, and being able to look out at the city, although you hate it, hate how busy it is and everything. Like, it's actually a really cool experience being able to get up there and look out at all of that. But yeah, like hiking has been a really cool thing that we've added into the things that we do. So I think that's about
awesome.
It really when it comes to hobbies.
That's awesome. You're also, like we've kind of briefly talked about, you have been writing a book. Did you start that before or after you got out to LA?
It's kind of interesting because so the idea came to me, what, I think probably a month before we left, and it was actually a dream. So I had this dream, like, I can't remember exactly how the dream went. I'm sure it's totally different than what the book is turning out to be. But so I had this dream, and like, it gave me this idea for this novel. So I just kind of started doing a lot of planning. Like, I wrote down the main idea, like what I wanted the concept to be. And then I started kind of breaking it down. And I did this for a really long time, just kind of breaking down like characters, breaking down my plot, breaking down where I wanted it to go from point A to point B. Just doing all this different research, like saying, oh, this is a concept that I want. Does it make sense? Like stuff like that. But I did that from, like I said, about a month before we left. And then I probably pushed off doing any sort of writing for probably a month or two. And then I got back into just like just making notes and just doing all this planning that didn't really add up to anything. Like, it was kind of just running me in circles. And then finally one day, Alex, we were here living in LA, and he was like, why don't you just start writing? Like, you're doing all this stuff and it's not necessarily helping. It's not benefiting me really. I don't have anything physically that I can show for all the work that I'm putting in. So he right. just said, just sit down and start writing. So that's what I did. And then it actually turned into something.
That's great. And so how long has it taken? So it's been coming up on 2 years. So it's been close to 2 years that you've been working on this then, right?
Yeah, just about. I think I started writing the first draft, I believe it was June. So mm-hmm. we moved out here in March. So yeah, I started actually like physically writing the book in June. So yeah, so it's been about a year and a half.
Interesting. Not to give anything away, but do you have a kind of brief synopsis about what to expect from our future New York Times bestseller?
Yeah. It's going to be in the young adult genre. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have a very similar feel to Hunger Games and Divergence. So hopefully mine is good enough to be turned into a movie as well. But it's this this dystopian type of feel about like a post-global warming society that they've pretty much been brainwashed essentially by this group called the government. And then like you follow this one character who starts waking up from this haze and like kind of figuring out like, oh, hey, something is off about this. Like all these people, they pretty much are following. They're like robots essentially. So, so she just starts asking questions and waking up, but also trying to blend in with everyone. So it's just it's a weird take on a future society.
Interesting. It kind of gives me a little bit of vibe of, oh goodness, what's that book? They turned it into a movie. Jeff Bridges was in it. The one where it's in the future and they don't have emotions. And why can I not think of the name of this one? I'll think of it. But that definitely sounds interesting. And especially, I think, especially with the global warming aspect, since we're really seeing the effects of that
so
today.
It's a very realistic. Yeah, I feel like it's a very realistic topic that people could get into.
Right. And you said that you told me that you have gone up to, you're on draft 10 of that now.
No, I'm working towards.
Oh, you want to get to 10.
Yes. I'm on draft 7 currently. So I'm almost done with draft 7. And after this draft, I'm going to send it to a few people that I want to have read it just so that way I can get some constructive criticism back and get some feedback and kind of see what their perspectives are and what I can do to benefit the novel. And then after that, I'm going to write a few more drafts. And then hopefully by draft 10, that's where I want to for sure get to 10. And then once I get there, and as long as I feel satisfied, I'll probably spend some money and send it to a professional editor from that point.
Interesting. And I thought of the name of it. It was The Giver with Jeff Bridges in it.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's an excellent book too. Basically, it's kind of it passes for a utopian society, and they don't have any. There's the whole movie.
Oh wait, is that the one with the collar? Something about the collar, like seeing in color.
Yeah.
I have seen it.
Yeah, they didn't. Or they saw him black and white, and then he gets. He's chosen to be the next person who receives like all of the human memory and past and stuff like that.
That's right.
Yeah, so I kind of got a little bit of that vibe from it, and I loved that book. So if you ever need someone to read it, I volunteer.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Just when it gets down to it, just don't, like, when I ask for your autograph, just don't put into it too stupid or anything like that.
Aww. I wouldn't do that. No.
Can I ask why like 10 drafts? Is that kind of something like people recommend, or is it just kind of like your personal goal, or how's that work?
It is kind of like with the research that I have done, a lot of people say 10 is just a really good number. And like I have a book actually that's I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like writing your first novel, and it talks about doing 10 drafts, which I'm doing a little bit different take kind of on my 10 drafts. Like, and on one article that I read, it said that you need to pick one thing and kind of focus on a different thing every draft that you do, like focusing on like character development, and then the next focusing on the plot, like stuff like that. But like, I'm pretty much just reading it from beginning to end and just seeing where my attention span is, what is boring, what is repetitive. But yeah, just kind of, I'm just running through it as a reader would, pretty much just 10 different times to work out all those odds and ends and try to figure it out myself, really.
That's awesome. And so, hold on. Getting a call. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Lindsay called me. I forgot to tell her that we were recording this.
No worries.
So, I remember now. In your book, have you kind of taken inspiration and pulled characters or locations or people from the, I mean, you said it's set kind of after a global warming crisis. So obviously the real world is probably going to be influenced in this, but have you pulled people from real life that you know and kind of used it to influence, like, is that type of stuff or like,
Funny. Because I do mention like where they're driving at one point and it mentions Indiana being on one of the signs as they're driving through. But it's funny because when I read it, I don't really see myself or see other people, but Alex has actually, he read one of my recent drafts and he said that he can see me through the whole book is what he said. Like, just kind of like, I don't really know exactly, but yeah, he said that he can read it and he can see me in it. So it's really kind of funny how when you're writing or, probably even like writing a movie novel or a movie script or with a novel, like you really do bring yourself to life, not necessarily through character, but just even sprinkled throughout different characters.
Right.
But
you know yourself,
if it is the case, what was that?
Oh, I was going to say, cause you know yourself the best. And so it's easy to write yourself into other characters.
Yeah. Which I, if that is the case, like I definitely didn't do it intentionally. And like, I didn't set out and say, okay, this person reminds me of this person, or I'm going to try to implement this person into this character. Like, that definitely was not my intention. Like, every character I kind of built as I went on.
Interesting. That's really cool. So you didn't like purposely put like Alex as like a bad guy in your book then?
No.
Darn, I was really hoping for like.
He has said like, oh, I want to play the main character. I don't know if when one of his sets he mentions it, but he said one time he wanted to play the main character, and I was like, oh, like I don't really picture you as the main character though, and that, he was a little upset.
Yeah, I remember that. That was hilarious.
That's a true story.
You've been like, I had somebody a little taller in mind.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's so cool though. Like I am genuinely like impressed that not only have you saw this through not only one draft, but you're all the way up this far now. When you're writing Howard just keeps wanting to make noise because I think he's a little
okay.
I haven't interviewed him yet. I did hold the mic up to him one time and he tried to bite it and I was like, okay, that's the end of that. But so when you go to write these drafts, do you rewrite the entire thing, or do you just kind of go through and just edit things here and there? Or how's that work in draft?
So like I just open, I open the last draft and then I just resave it as a new draft. And then I pretty much just go through and like, I'll expand if there's something I'm just like, okay, and this could use more. So I'll just kind of go in there and just on my computer add more, or if I'm like, if I read through it and I'm like, oh, I've already said this, or like that's what I noticed with my writing style, especially with this being my first novel. I really tried to, because this is so futuristic, I really tried to nail these ideas into the reader's head, and that was something I noticed in like my first draft. Like when I first started reading the drafts, like it's progressed so much, it's crazy, like seeing how much it's gotten better. But I remember the first drafts, I was like, oh my gosh, like, why did I say this so many times? They're like, reiterate this and in so many different ways. Like, it's just like, this kind of, it got annoying. Like, I was just like, why did I do this So I don't remember where I was going with this now, but yeah, that pretty much like that's how I go through and I edit it as I expand or I delete essentially.
Yeah, the most I've ever had to write is to finish my bachelor's degree at Florida Tech. We had what's called a senior capstone, and basically we had to pick a topic, and it could be any topic, but it had to have literary and scholarly research behind it, and we had to essentially write a 40-page research project.
Oh my God.
Whatever we chose. Yeah,
that's huge.
Luckily, though, I was able to do mine on we did death and resurrection in literary media. And to use an example, my whole project became focused around The Flash. So I literally wrote a 40-page paper on the superhero The Flash, which was a lot of fun.
That would be neat.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was tough because I would send my sponsor, who was, we had to work with there was like a board of doctors for the humanity department. And my sponsor, Dr. Pertigo, who is absolutely brilliant. And she, that was actually her specialty in terms of like her research and stuff like that is death in media and stuff. So, she would go through, and she was an expert on this, she would go through and edit stuff and send it back to me after I just wrote, like, she cut down, like, my 10 pages down to, like, 4, and I'd be like, oh, God. And then I'd go through and look, and I'd be like, holy crap, I can't believe, like, I spent so much time on this, and this doesn't make any sense. So it's definitely eye-opening when you have somebody look at it or when you go through it a second time and realize just how much you spent on, like, one area, and you're like, was I an idiot? Like, I can't read well.
Yeah, well, I think that's why it's been so beneficial for me reading it from beginning to end every time, just because like I'm able to see where like I've just kind of just pretty much wasted my time writing this whole like idea that I've already mentioned in the past, but like I'm able to catch that reading it from beginning to end. So you go through and like I can't tell you how much I've deleted, but then I've also added a lot. So it makes up for it in the end.
Right. And have you stayed kind of around the same length, or have you seen it getting shorter, or have you seen it getting longer since you started the editing process?
It has varied for sure. I think my first draft was only about 52,000 words. My goal originally was 60,000. So mm-hmm. when I got like, and I pretty much like I had planned on, I didn't have an end. So bear with me here. I'm trying to get to a point. So when I started writing, fine. I just started writing. I didn't know where I was going to go. So I didn't have an end. And then I actually was texting Alex when I was writing, because I was writing every day on my lunch break. I had an hour lunch break. So I would go outside on my lunch break and I would sit and I would just write. So like I said, my original goal was 60,000 words. So I got to this point of the book and I was just like, this, I have too much left to tell. So I was like, this would be a good ending. So I just kind of stopped it. Even though I was short, I was like, this is a good place to stop. So I stopped at 52,000 words. So I was kind of disappointed. I was like, well, this is a little short, but okay, whatever. So, but then I got to reading a little bit more, and it says for like a young adult fiction for that genre, you want to be between 60 and 80,000. So I was like, oh man, like I'm shooting a little short even with 60,000, and I've only got 52 right now. So then I don't remember when I got to the point that I'm at now, but now I've got it up to 79,000 words, which I'm actually really happy with, because like Divergent and Hunger Games are both much longer than that. They're both closer. I think they're both between 90 and 100,000. And those two novels are, well, those two series are ones that I see my book most closely related to. So I think right where I'm at is probably a really good point. But even before I got to this point now, it's fluctuated so much, probably between 70 and 80,000. It's been up and down within the last few drafts.
That's cool though. I mean, that's, you know, 80,000 more words than I have typed out and the million book ideas that I've come up with and never executed on. So.
You just have to make yourself do it. Like I said, like I started writing and I was like, I have no idea where I'm going, but I just said, okay, I have nothing else to do on my lunch break. So I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to write.
Right. So has your time, and I guess this is kind of something that I just thought about, but has your experiences out in LA kind of influenced your book at all? Like, have you toured locations or anything like that, or experiences even probably really just has anything about your time in California influenced your novel so far?
I'm trying to think. Nothing that comes directly to mind, not that I can think of. But it has kind of been beneficial out here, being out here, because I've made quite a few connections that I think will be really beneficial when it comes to taking the next step with the book. So even though, like, I haven't really put anything from my experiences out here in California into my writing style or the novel itself, I think just being out here, like, it's with being able to build connections and stuff, it's been a huge benefit, really. Or I hope, at least once I get to that point, it'll be beneficial.
Well, I think that's all that I got. Any other things you want to talk about?
No, just like if there's anybody out there like I was just telling you, like if there's anyone out there that's trying to write, like no matter if you're writing prose or poetry, or if you have an idea or you don't have an idea, like I think as long as you just discipline yourself and say, okay, like I'm just going to write, just do it. And then also pay attention to your dreams. Like I cannot tell you how many notes that I have on my phone of dreams that either I or Alex have had that I'm like, okay, we need to turn this into something, just because like it's crazy how much like your sleep is so weird, but like your sleep, like just your dreams are so weird, but they can really be turned into really neat concepts. So like just, and it's so easy to take something like that and turn it into something bigger. So
yeah,
like I said, like my novel idea was, it came to me in my sleep. So like, and when they say like, oh, sleep with a notebook by your bed, like that is so true. And it's so useful.
That is super cool. Like I'm unfortunate. I can hardly ever remember my dreams when I wake up, but I think that it is totally like insane that it literally came to you in your sleep. And now you've taken that and turned it into almost 80,000 words, you said.
Uh-huh.
Like that yeah. is crazy to me. Other than that, I mean, that's fantastic to hear. And I'm, of course, am impressed. And hopefully, if you're feeling generous down the road and you are okay with people looking at it, I would love to read one of your drafts. And I'm going to, like, if you ever do let me, I'm going to, like, print out every page and, like, put one of those giant, like, butterfly clamps or whatever they call them. You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to like get out my red pen and I'm going to go through it and like a teacher.
I prefer that. Like the people that I've sent it to, a couple people, I think four or five people, and that I have printed it out and sent it to them hard copy and told them to red pen it, because that is how I prefer to edit. So that's how I want them to edit. Because I think with me, like with sending people the document, I don't want you to mess with my document. Like, I don't want you to go in and mess it up. Like, so like if you have any sort of recommendations that I'm like, I'm not really feeling that, I want to be able to take it out. So it's like, that's something with my editing process that I would rather have a physical copy than a soft copy. That's just me personally. Excellent. But yeah, no, so I'll probably send it to you in a hard copy so you don't have to print it out.
Oh, that's awesome. And you're just going to get a note back and it's going to be like, I feel like there should be a corgi right here, but that's Aww. Just me.
We'll put Howard in there.
Yeah, as he's staring at me like, hey man, don't bring me into this.
Aww.
But I mean, that's everything I got for you. It was amazing to talk to you and hear everything from your experiences moving out west from the small towns in Indiana that you came from to cyber stalking your future husband. I thought that was a fantastic. And the moral of that story is follow your dreams and
exactly.
stalk people.
Follow your dreams in multiple ways.
That one. Yeah. Literally follow them like home. all the way up until your up and coming book. Do you have a title yet that you're interested in sharing, or is it still a secret?
It's called The Hack Needs, which it's a very, like it's HACKNEYEDS. But that's not really something that I'm pushing just because it is such a weird word. It's not in everybody's vocabulary. It's really not in very many, like everyone that I think I've sent it to, they've had to look it up to see what it means. But it right. means something in the novel. So, but that's something that I'm trying not to really get too attached to. It's the name of the book since I think draft 3 is when I decided on that name. But because it is such an unusual word, I'm afraid that once I go and try to send it to a publisher, that they will want to change it. Which that right. with novel writing is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's understandable. But at least you're not attached to it, so it's not going to like break your heart if they're like, "Yeah, this needs to be changed."
Yeah, exactly.
If they came back and were like, "Hey, we got this really great idea for a title, and it's going to sell you a million more books," I'd be like, "Heck yeah, do whatever you want." Like,
yeah, that's kind of what you have to do. That's how you have to be.
You could call it Mr. Sprinkle's Pony Time Adventure, and I would be okay with it if it sells money or if it sells books.
Yeah.
All right, though. Do you want to plug any of your social media accounts or anything like that? Feel free to.
First off, I appreciate you having me, and it's been great getting to talk with you and kind of talk about some of that stuff. But yeah, I am on, I'll just give you my Instagram. It's AM. As in mom, Cunningham, 7117, very long and not very easy to remember. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, but I also have a Facebook page that people can go in and like and kind of get updates on my book and just the writing journey. And that's just under Alexis Cunningham, and you should be able to find it.
Yep,
I have it. The tag for that is actually by Alexis Cunningham. That may be easier to find. On Facebook.
I actually have that pulled up right now. It's funny. I had that on my phone. You have
nice.
32. You have 332 followers on your Facebook page. Look at you go.
On my way up.
Yeah, you're making it. All right. Well, and as usual, you can follow yours truly, this handsome, humble voice in your ear. Zach does Graham, Z-A-K does Graham, all one word. You can follow my dog, Howard. He has more Instagram followers than me now, and I don't know how to feel about that. His is just Howard Barks on Instagram. It's funny because he's supposed to be like Howard Stark, but he's Howard Bark. Ha ha ha.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny. Yeah. One day I'm going to get him like a little suit and like a 50s, 40s style mustache and a bow tie, and he's going to come into work with a briefcase. But until then.
He looks so cute.
I know. And then I'm going to feel bad because he's going to be making the big bucks, and I'm going to be like, yes, sir, whatever you say. but other than that, I'm also on Twitter at Zach Does Tweets. And if you loved this interview that we did here today, be sure to share it with your friends. Tell everyone you know about Alexis's book and how awesome it sounds and how it's the next Hunger Games. Actually, I won't even say it's the next Hunger Games because it's going to be its own thing.
Thank you.
And yeah, see, there you go. And then I hope to get your beautiful husband on again in the near future to continue to talk, because we all know he loves to do that. And I guess we will continue on episode 2. This has been my Life as I Live It podcast, where we discuss all things life, and we will see you next time.